Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Owing to all this, the kingdom became free from disputes and fear of every kind. It means if people are satisfied, then there's no disputes. And this fear, so fear of every kind, fear will come from insecurity. Right? So their relationships are strong, so therefore then there's no disputes, there's no fighting. The rain became so abundant as to leave no room for desiring more. Prabhupada gives the example that the when it rains, because in these other yugas it would rain at night, wouldn't rain in the day, because day is for occupation, night is not, so it would rain at night. And so that when in the morning the farmer would come to the field, then he would look at it and always think it's not enough rain, no matter how much was there. Right? Gives the example, no matter how much Krishna gives, the living entity always thinks it's never enough. Right? It's just standard. But here he's saying it leaves no room for desiring more, that it was like obvious that it was completely enough. And the kingdom grew in prosperity. In consequence of the virtues of the king, moneylenders, the articles required for sacrifices, cattle rearing, tillage, and traders, all and everything grew in prosperity. So also in here, besides, because all your prosperity is coming out of the Vaishyas, and so out of these four occupations, money lending, cattle rearing, tillage, and trading. But then also mentions here articles required for sacrifice. So that means that those things also were increasing. Right? Because that's coming, the earth is giving, making it plentiful and everything. But, so that means it was valued, and it means that therefore people were also looking to acquire, to get it, to bring it. Indeed, during the reign of Yudhishthira, who was ever devoted to truth, there was no extortion, no stringent realization of arrears of rent, no fear of disease, of fire, or of death by poisoning and incantations in the kingdom. So no improper practices, malpractices, even if they're there in the shastras, were being used. No one was using mantras to bother other people, poisoning. Disease wasn't happening. Everything's very pure. Everything's very nice. That means also justice was being done very properly. Right? It means who was that? Sahadev. Because if justice is being administered, there are no, how do you say, these contagious diseases, you know, these plagues, epidemics. There's no epidemics. You know, it's like suddenly everybody gets chicken pox, everybody gets measles, everybody gets this. That's all coming because the court system is bad. The court system's pure, then the ether doesn't become pure, polluted. If the ether is polluted, then all these diseases can travel in it. But if the ether is pure, then they won't. So then you won't get all these different diseases like that. Of fire, then that would be just, you know, bad karma. At the same time, people are more aware of everything, tuned into everything, so then they're very careful about all this. Stringent realization of arrears means that you have to pay your rent, but, you know, if something goes wrong, you have to, you know, let it go for a month or two, and then you can pay later. And all, they would adjust with this, because one, the persons who is behind in the rent would always be paying, and the person who, you know, and the person who is having their, you know, the landlord, then will get their rent, and at the same time they're very kind and, you know, allows things to work properly. But nowadays you might not get the rent, and, you know, so therefore they're very stringent, and then, you know, it makes the whole atmosphere very bad. Right. These are all the things, and sometimes you think, oh, well, that's all nice, that's bad. What about the real world? Here it's talking about rent, right? Always remember, it's talking about rent here, right? Like that. Money lending, right? Mention brought that up. It isn't just, oh, you know, we're just into the cows and the land. But the first one mentioned was money lenders, right? Not that that's important, but that means money was being lent. So people were borrowing money and then doing things and then becoming prosperous, paying it back. And does that make sense? So all this stuff was always going on. But this is not the main thing we talk about. Right? Just like in the movie, right? You know, your hero and heroine, how often do they eat? You ever see them go to the toilet? You understand? They just don't. It's not that they don't go to the toilet. You don't see it. So the same thing here. You don't see it. It's not that it's not going on. So these kind of details of day-to-day human existence, practical human existence, is going on all the time. There's always been all these things. Right? There's always been rent. It's not a new thing. Like that. It's just something quite old. You know, like this apartment thing. We think of it as some new thing from the 60s. No, the Romans had apartment buildings. Right? Just in those days, the best flat was the one on the ground floor. And the guy paying the cheapest rent was on the top floor because he had to climb 7 flights of stairs. Right? And nowadays, they do it the other way around because you have a lift. Right? But if it wasn't for lifts, the penthouse would be on the ground floor. Right? Yeah, no extortion. It was never heard at that time that thieves, cheats, or royal favorites ever behaved wrongfully towards the king or towards one another. Yeah, so here thieves and cheats were there, but they were just amongst themselves. They would never bother the king, never bother anybody else. Or you could say that they were, or you could say that you never heard of thieves and cheats. I think this would be a better reading. There were no thieves, there were no cheats, and royal favorites didn't behave badly towards the king or one another. Right? Means, in other words, because you're working up on the top of the pile, then they weren't becoming proud and behaving badly towards the king, right? Or towards each other, like that. So they were cooperating very nicely, everything was working better. Kings conquered on the 6 occasions of war, treaty, etc., were wont to wait upon him in order to do good unto the monarch and worship him ever, while the traders of different classes came to pay him the taxes leviable on their respective occupations. Okay, so that means the kings that were conquered by the six methods of conquering, then they were always, subservient to the king. Right? They weren't now feeling bad and having a grudge and wanting to get revenge. No, they were very happy to serve and, you know, assist in that. And all the traders, then they were coming and paying their taxes. You didn't have to run after them. They were coming to you, right? So why are they coming? Why are they coming? Why are people going to Yudhishthira?
Because he's protecting.
Yeah, Dharma. He's protecting them. They're comfortable. They're happy. Does that make sense? So this concept that people who would come to you because you're the leader, that's very nice. As long as you're the leader like Yudhishthira, the people want to come, that's where they're coming. But if you're not the kind of person, leader like Yudhishthira, and people don't like you, don't want to come around, and then you demand they have to come around because you're the leader, you miss the point. Means all you see is authority, you don't see relationship at all. Does that make sense? So the point is, it's just another relationship. Right? It's just another, just like you have friends or mother and father, or, you know, parents and children. It's just another relationship, the king and his citizens. Right? And it's just as alive and dynamic and close as any other kind of relationship. Does that make sense? So that's leadership. Right? If it's not like that, that's called management. Right? That's if it's working. And if it's not working, it's called stupidity. Right? Like that. Or at best, yeah. Okay. If it's somewhat working because of rules, then it's called bureaucracy. Right. And pay the tax leviable on the respective occupations. It doesn't just give generic, it's mentioning their specific occupations, because every occupation has a different tax. Right, the 20%, 25% that we hear about, that's on grain. That's on what you grow in the field. Right? But other things, the taxes are varied, you know, very much. That's 25%. Some things are as low as 2% because the markup can't be very much. So Manu gives what each one is. What is the tax on each? Accordingly, during the reign of Yudhishthira, who was ever devoted to virtue, his dominion grew in prosperity. Indeed, the prosperity of the kingdom was increased not by these alone, but even by persons wedded to voluptuousness and indulging in all luxuries to their fill. Right. So not only how do you say, was it all by these nice management and all these things that normally get you, what do you call it, prosperity, but also people were just devoted to, you know, luxury and enjoying their senses. They were also generating prosperity. They were using a lot, but they were also generating. So everybody, so that means that even though they're very much attached to fulfilling their material needs, it was all being done according to religious principles. Right? So therefore, then religion will generate prosperity. So that's the point, is that everything is prosperous because of the virtue of the king, and then the natural following of that by the citizens. Right? The leader is religious, the followers will be religious. Like that. The king of kings, Yudhishthira, whose sway extended over all, was possessed of every accomplishment and bore everything with patience. O king, whatever countries the celebrated and illustrious monarch conquered, the people everywhere, from brahmanas to swains, were all more attached to him than their own fathers and mothers. Swains. What's a swain? I guess it's probably a two-legged swine or something. There must be something about swain, meaning just low class or something. You heard of swains? Okay, so it means he had every accomplishment, he bore everything with patience. Because many times people are very accomplished, then they tend to not be very patient. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea. Vaishampayana said, King Yudhishthira, then, that foremost of speakers, summoning together his counselors and brothers, asked them repeatedly about the Rajasuya sacrifice. Foremost of speakers, that means even he was very good at speaking. Right? So being able to speak nicely, nice speech, appropriate speech, it's also very important for leaders. Yeah? Does that make sense? So that's why practice more nice speech rather than your shrill scream while you run up the banister. Of course, maybe if you're in a fight, maybe that would be useful, but try to balance the, between the nice speech and the screaming. And all that. Those ministers in a body, thus asked by the wise Yudhishthira, desirous of performing the sacrifice, then told him these words of great import. One already in possession of a kingdom desireth all the attributes of an emperor by means of that sacrifice, which aideth a king in acquiring the attributes of Varuna. Right, why the attributes of Varuna? Because Varuna holds sway over kings. Right? So all kings pay allegiance to Varuna. Like that. O prince of Kuru race, thy friends think thou art worthy of the attributes of an emperor. The time is even come for thee, for the performance of the Rajasuya sacrifice. The time for the performance of that sacrifice in which rishis of austere vows kindle six fires with mantras of the Samaveda is come for thee in consequence of thy Kshatriya possessions. Right, so this is done with the Samaveda. It's the top yajna, but we see here it's not Rig Vedas that's the main one, it's the Samaveda. Right, because Krishna of all the Vedas, he says, he is the Rig, Yajur, and Samavedas, right, of the four Vedas. But of these three, he's the Samaveda. Right? Does that make sense?
What is the Samaveda?
It's one of the four Vedas, but it's the ones with all the songs. Rig Veda is all the hymns, Yajurveda is all the prose, Samaveda is all the songs, or prayers, and the Atharva Veda is whatever's left over, like that, all the practical stuff, like that.
And these songs, what are they describing the Lord of
them? Yeah, they're all describing the Lord, but also in various manifestations, but, you know, maybe in his manifestations within the universe. But it's all the song. At the conclusion of the Rajasuya sacrifice, when the performer is installed in the sovereignty of the emperor, He is rewarded with the fruits of all sacrifices, including the Agnihotra. It is for this that he is called the conqueror of all. Thou art quite able, O strong-armed one, to perform the sacrifice. All of us are obedient to thee. Soon will you be able, O king, to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. Therefore, O great king, let thy resolution be taken to perform the sacrifice without further discussion. Thus all his friends and counselors, separately and jointly, spoke unto the king. Why separately and jointly? Why is that mentioned? I don't remember. Means the leader, whenever he takes advice, then he always speaks to all the people individually, right? All his counselors, he speaks to them individually so that they can fully speak their mind and you can understand exactly what they mean, right? Because otherwise, sometimes in an assembly, you might speak things in a more hidden way, like a cloistered way, so that then it won't offend somebody else or won't disturb somebody else, but then the meaning might not be understood in this direct way. So then the difficulty may come up that you may misunderstand, then you go to try and this and that. They don't want to really say because someone else may not approve of it. And so the meeting doesn't actually go very well. Right? So individually they're discussed with, they know exactly what each one means, what's their purpose. You give your ideas and then basically you come to an understanding. So now if you've done that with all your counselors individually, then when you meet as a group, then naturally, then it's going to be very progressive. Because now they know what you're saying, you know what they're saying. So even if they say it in a very subtle way, then you know because this other person thinks differently. Then the king himself, he'll bridge the gap rather than force the person to bridge the gap. What's the trip? Hey, quit being trippy, just say it. But then that means you're taking authority but no responsibility. You understand? Because you're making the other person say it and he'll get in trouble. Rather than, this one says this, that one opposes it, so you prefer this one, so you bring it across so that it looks proper and convince this person. Does that make sense? That's leadership. Because then the other person is very happy because his point got made, you support it, and you actually bridge the gap rather than he has to do it and ruin his relationship. Right? So these are all the subtle things. These are the things that make the leadership endearing. Otherwise, then what we're used to is not actual real leadership. It's not what makes people satisfied and comfortable, right? Because they keep authority, but you got to do all the dirty work. But that's not how it works. That. Okay. That's the new program. He doesn't talk, we don't talk. Sign language. O King Yudhishthira, that slayer of all enemies, having heard these virtuous, bold, agreeable, and weighty words of theirs, accepted them mentally. Right? Virtuous, they're proper, bold, they're coming forward and saying what they mean. They're not afraid. Agreeable, because they're spoken very, very nicely. Even though it's bold, it's spoken very pleasantly. And weighty means it's based in Dharma, it's been thought about very deeply, and it's very practical. Having heard those words of his friends and counselors, and knowing his own strength also, the king, O Bharata, repeatedly thought over the matter. After this, the intelligent and virtuous Yudhishthira, wise in counsel, again consulted with his brothers, with the illustrious Ritvijas about him, with his ministers, and with Domya, Dvaipayana, and others, right? So he's discussed with them, then hearing now all of they say, now knowing himself and knowing others, what they've spoken, now he makes a he comes to a further understanding. Because before that discussion was, should we do it? Now it's a matter, how we'll go about it, what does that mean? You have to practically apply it. Otherwise, sometimes you see that a committee will come together. Yeah, we should do this. Yeah, we should do that. Yeah, why don't we do this? And they list millions of things, you know, 1,008 yagyas and 2,100, you know, virgins carrying pots on their heads and this and that. They go out of the room, wow, great festival, but no one's discussed how they're going to do it. And then when the time comes, it doesn't happen. You know? You know what I'm saying? It's like 108 matchbox yagyas. Wouldn't it have been better to do one very big yagya? You know what I'm saying? You know, stuff like that. You know, so this is the point. It's discussed. It's seen that, okay, it's bona fide to go after. Now we'll think about it, about how to do it. Okay. Yudhishthira said, how may this wish that I entertain of performing the excellent sacrifice of Rajasuya that is worthy of an emperor bear fruit in consequence of my faith and speech alone? Right, now notice, now whose idea is it now? Right, you catch that? How may this wish that I entertain? Right? Because before it was, do you think I should do this, you know? My father's mentioned it, this and that, so he's playing with it. You know, you're contemplating the field. So it's sankarshan. Right? Then he deals with the ministers. They say, no, you should do this. You're qualified. You know, there's no one else better to do it. Then he contemplates it, sees himself, right? Means he's self-realized. He knows who he is. And he's able to, you know, then balance everything by judging all the different things and his. Then he says, okay, now he comes to Prajumna. Now I want to do this, right? This is, you know, this is a wish that I have. So now what to do? And the ministers don't say, hey, we told you that. You understand? It's just the way relationship works. You're going through the stages. They explained it in Sankarshan. Now this is Prajumna. You can't claim now it's yours. Does that make sense? It's a different aspect of the rasa. Right? Does that make sense? Vaishampayana said, O thou of eyes like lotus petals, thus asked by the king, they replied at that time unto Yudhishthira, the just, in these words, being conversant with the dictates of morality, thou art, O king, worthy to perform the grand sacrifice of Rajasuya. After the Ritvijas and Rishis had told these words unto the king, his ministers and brothers highly approved of the speech. The king, however, possessed of great wisdom and with mind under complete control, actuated by the desire of doing good unto the world, again resolved the matter in his mind, thinking of his own strength and means, the circumstances of time and place, and his income and expenditure. Right? So now they're getting practical about it. Right? Before was, is he qualified? You know, is it the right thing to do? Is it according to religion? So then he's come to the conclusion that it is. So now then it's confirmed by who is it there? Said? The Rishis and the Ritvijas. Ritvijas means as priests, like that. The king, okay. For he knew that the wise never come to grief owing to their always acting after full deliberation. If you've already worked it out fully, then there'll be no surprises. Thinking that the sacrifice should not be commenced, pursuant to his own resolution only, Yudhishthira, carefully bearing upon his shoulder the weight of affairs, thought of Krishna, that persecutor of all sinners, as the fittest person to decide the matter. Inasmuch as he knew him to be the foremost of all persons, possessed of immeasurable energy, strong-armed, without birth, but born amongst men from will alone. Reflecting upon his godlike feats, the son of Pandu concluded that there was nothing that was unknown to him, nothing that he could not achieve, and nothing that he could not bear. And Yudhishthira, the son of Prita, having come to this settled resolution, soon sent a messenger unto that master of all beings, conveying through him blessings and speeches, such as one senior in age might send to one that is younger. That messenger, riding in a swift car, arrived among the Yadavas and approached Krishna, who was then residing in Dvaravati. Achyuta, Krishna, hearing that the son of Prita had become desirous of seeing him, desired to see his cousin, and quickly passing over many regions, being drawn by his own swift horses, Krishna arrived at Indraprastha accompanied by Indrasena. Right, so that he wanted to see him rather than, you know, come or, you know, get in here or that. It's like, I would like to see you, and giving all kinds of nice speech and all that. Then it awakens the desire to see. So then it's mutual. Then there's action. Right? So then that action is based on spontaneity, on affection, rather than on you've been called, therefore you have to come. Right? You see the differences here? Right? I mean, it may be very foreign, because for a long time, at least in this side of the, I mean, not this side of the world, I guess if you look at it from where you're from, that side of the world, then these things weren't seen. Very rare to be seen, you know, or very, not very popular these days. Right? But here, then, it's all based on relationship. Right? So management is stuff, is administration is stuff that goes on along with it. In other words, the service doesn't destroy relationships. You can't say, well, the service is most important. Had to get the work done, I'm sorry. No, but the point is you have relationships. Within that, you also have services. Does that make sense? You have an occupation, because then that creates the forum for the relationships, and it creates the facility for the relationships. Does that make sense? Right? So that's there. Does that make sense? That's why this one just kind of sits there, because it's never been experienced. Right? Other things you go, yes, okay, yeah, that's right. But these kind of things like this just kind of sit there and go, okay, nice. You know? Because it's probably one thing that you may have never experienced. Right? Because we're talking leadership here. You know? You know, it's like somebody would say, oh, don't you want to come and see me? Oh, yes, yes, of course. You know, but it's but that's in the negative, right? It's about you. You know, we're doing this. We'd like to see you. May all blessings come to you, and this and that, and may you be prosperous. And you know, we just would like to have your company. So then you think, yes, I want to have that company. Does that make sense? So even within the thing of trying to invoke it from another, it's being done very differently. Right? That's why the Mahabharata's so big. Because you hear this a million times, and eventually it starts to soak in. Having arrived at Indraprastha, Janardhan approached Yudhishthira without loss of time. Yudhishthira received Krishna with parental affection. Bhima also received him likewise. Why?
He's senior to Krishna.
Yeah, they're both older. Janardhan then went with a cheerful heart to his father's sister, Kunti. Worshipped then with reverence by the twins, he began to converse cheerfully with his friend Arjuna, that was overjoyed at seeing him. Right? So first all the formal, and then he, you know, hangs out with Arjuna. Right? Yes?
Marsh, many organizations from different fields of life, they use codes of honor.
Codes of honor.
Like a list of standard behavior that everybody subscribes to. And when somebody somehow doesn't follow, people can bring it up to him and say, okay, we agreed to be punctual, but not being punctual. So how does this type of approach, how that situates in this overall concept?
It's businessy. It means it works. It's practical, because these things are designed because they want to get profit. So it's within the realm of artha, and so it's bona fide. But it will give artha, but it will only give the flavor of artha. But the point is why would the? Because it mentions here Yudhishthira without what do you call it? Having arrived in Indraprastha, Janardhan approached Yudhishthira without loss of time. But why was he on time? Because of the relationship. He didn't want to get distracted by anything else. In other words, that aspect was the most important thing for him at that time. So if the person's late, you know, unless it's he got stuck in traffic, it's because that's not the most important thing for him. Some other relationship is more important. you know, something with his wife or something that he wanted to go do himself personally. So being at that meeting was not his first priority. So then the point we're bringing out here is that it becomes the first priority because of the relationship, and because now it's time for that relationship, it takes prominence over the other relationships. So that would be the Dharma aspect, is that you're on time not because it's it lacks prosperousness and respect for others in that, but because you want to be there, because you want to be part of this what's happening here. You feel part of it. Like that. Does that make sense? It's a slight different approach, but in the business world, you may not have the opportunity to actually have that kind of influence on people, because the reason they're coming together is not Dharma, but it's Artha. So then, you know, that can work, but it will carry that flavor. You know, because it's not a sense of duty. It's code of honor is put in as if it is duty, but it's more, I don't want to waste my time. And naturally then, you know, to reciprocate that, I shouldn't waste anyone else's time. You know? So it's good, but it's not the top. It's still not the top. It's still not the best. So I don't want to waste someone else's time, so therefore we should mutually not waste each other's time. You know? We're important. We're doing important work. Time is important. Therefore, we shouldn't waste it. Therefore, out of respect for others, don't waste our time. But the essence is economics and one's own self. It's not so much the relationship. So everybody's agreeing to it, so it seems like community. But it is community, but simply based on the platform of economics. It's not actually community based on religious principles of the inherent nature of the individuals and their inherent relationship.
How do you bring it up to the higher level when that spontaneity is not there?
It means the point is you have to be practical, that it has to work. So it is a field of community. So that it's there, that's not bad. It's good. It's progressive. It's better than anarchy, you know, and just nobody cares, or everyone's self-centered and fighting over things like that. So it's much better. Pranamoy is always better than anamoy. Like that. So this is on pranamoy, but to bring it to manamoy, then it's a sense of duty. It's a matter of, we're here for business. This is we're business people. We have relationship here. We can make money. We can do big things. So if that relationship is appreciated and respected, then we will naturally reciprocate the relationship. Otherwise, we've called a meeting, and so then that's our step forward in the relationship. You coming to the meeting, that's your reciprocation of that. So if you're not reciprocating, that means this relationship's not important. That means you don't really value this business venture, you know, or whatever is the purpose of that committee. You know, it's not, it's as you in your life, as a relationship, it's not so important. It's just to you money. And it appears that therefore also money is not as important to you. Otherwise, you would have been here just for the money. So that means something else is important to you. So then actually, we don't have a deep relationship, because our commitment and value of money and the methods of getting it, you have different values. So actually, we're not of the same community. You know, you're of a smaller or different, you know, business community. Because in our community, we would never do this. You know, does that make sense? So you're dealing there with the mechanics of it. It's not necessarily dealing here with the emotion of it, because that's, you know, someone's senior, someone's junior, depending upon their positions and relations and wealth and influence, then you're going to have all those things there. This person's more powerful, this person's more wealthy, this person's, you know, given more in charity. Like, let's say there's someone who's more wealthy, but then there's someone in that committee who's given way more charity than anyone else, so he has to be respected for that. Because you make money, he's giving it away, you're not. So that's a big deal. Or someone's a relation of yours, so that has to be respected. someone's very knowledgeable, maybe they're not very wealthy, but it's like you're having a bunch of businessmen get together and Alan Greenspan is there, so then he knows the field. He's not wealthy, but he knows the field, so he has to be respected for that knowledge. So then you're adding more of the elements of Dharma, because this other than the chairman, they try to level the field. You know, it's just like, there's that one famous VTE, I think they generally put it the last one, no one should stand on their position to exert influence in the meeting. You know, it's okay, you're a Prabhupada disciple or a temple president or a sannyasi or, you know, someone like that, and so therefore you shouldn't use that to try to gain control of the meeting and you know, butt in on people and speak and, you know, force the issue. So that's okay, that's nice. You know, it should be considered of others. Yudhishthira, he's the emperor, he's considering everybody else. But to go along with that should be, the other half of the sentence should be, is though everybody has to respect everybody else in that meeting according to their position. But because that's not there, therefore, it's not a human rule. In other words, it breaks Dharma. It's actually atheistic, that rule. But it sounds great because it makes the meeting go nice. It just makes it easy for the chairman, because then the chairman, who is, of course, by the same rule, wouldn't be necessarily a senior person. He can just be a good person who's good at chairing the meeting. He may have no position, no ability other than very good chairing of a meeting. And then he can tell whoever he wants, you know, to put him in their place. That's what it does. But as far as, so it makes for a good meeting. It's good pranamoy. It's good economics. But as far as religion goes, it's atheism. But very popular, because nowadays if something gets done, then that's better than ignorance. So a little passion is better than ignorance. But it's not human. That kind of a meeting is not based on the human element. So it's got to be a balance that the senior men should know that, okay, they run everything, but when they're in a group meeting, they have to consider everybody in the meeting. They have a relationship with everybody there. So educate them, you know, that they have to consider everybody, because you're having a meeting, so it's valuable. Otherwise, you do it yourself. At the same time, as everybody has to respect everyone else in the meeting. You know, so it means, and all the rules apply. You know, it's just like in the army. When they have, let's say they have a social party, right? It's non-managerial, so everyone goes in their mufti, you know, so like that. And so they're all there, you know, all standing around, hanging around, talking, but it's still, you know, who's the general is the general, who's the captain is the captain, who's the, you know, the sergeant is the sergeant. And that all has to be taken into consideration, and their wives and everything like that. So it's not that you just level the field and everyone's equal. Right? Does that make sense? So that way then it's both. You have the respectfulness within it, at the same time is no one's taking advantage of that. Right? The sages aren't saying, we're senior here, so you just do what we say. We're your priest. No, he's the king. So he's the emperor. He has the influence. Then therefore he has to make the decisions and take the responsibility. But they advise him accordingly. And because they're in the scene, he listens to them. He doesn't say, well, I'm the king, why do I have to listen to these guys? Right? So it's a balance. Dharma means the balance between two different entities, whether they're opposing or very compatible. Like that. You know, it means Dharma is, if a Brahmin meets a Shudra, how do they interact? The Shudra is respectful, and the Brahmin is giving blessings and, you know, dealing with him as a child. You know? Not that, oh, you're a Shudra, you know. And then the Shudra is afraid of the Brahmin. No. He's very comfortable, but he knows his position as junior, because knowledge is one of the things of respect. Now let us say this Brahmin meets a Shudra who's very renowned, you know, for their art. Let's say they're the top musician in the kingdom. Now this Brahmin's going to respect that Shudra because of his art. Right? At the same time, the Shudra's going to respect the Brahmin because of his knowledge. But of the two, the Brahmin senior, the Brahmin, the I say Shudra's junior. Here we see two Kshatriyas, but Yudhishthira is, you know, a couple of years older. You know, I think he's 3 years older. Right? So therefore, then he's giving the blessings. But they're Kshatriyas. Does that make sense? So in other words, it's the education of the people of what is their dharma, what is their religion, and therefore how to relate. And, you know, that's there. So just like the chairman, okay, the chairman is very good at felicitating the meeting. And he's good. Everyone respects him for that. So therefore, being in the chair, he has to be respected by anyone. He says, no one should talk now, no one talks. He says, you know, raise your hand, you raise your hand. He says, I want suggestions, you give suggestions. But at the same time, as he's got to respect everybody in the room for who they are. Does that make sense? So that's what's important in the Vedic culture, which is many times lacking in the Western. Right? But where they see it helps in making money, then they put those rules in. Not for Dharma, but for Artha. That if we're a little respectful to each other in this meeting, then people are more committed to it, we get more done, there's more profit. That's the reason for it. It's not because it's the right thing to do whether there's profit or not. Right? For a Kshatriya, he does it whether he gets profit or doesn't get profit. Vaishya does it because he gets profit. If he doesn't get profit, then he doesn't do it. Right? If he's cultivated in him a very strong religious sentiment, he'll do it because he thinks, I'll get profit in the future. Right? Like I remember one business person, he had developed a shop. You know, he had made the initial investment, and now it was worth 20 times that. Then he was planning to move. And in moving, then, it would be a big hassle to sell the whole shop and everything like that. And so then... And also because he had, you know, been in that place for so long, then he decided, I'll just give the shop to the temple. As it is. You know, all the stock, everybody. And so then he did that, and he was under the... He knew from his parents that whatever you give, you will get back. You'll never lose... It means charity, you'll never lose one... paisa. So if I give away 1 lakh, I will get back 1 lakh. But now if I give it away to qualified Brahmins, I give it to temples, then I'll get much more back. So then after giving that away, then he moved to this new place, he started his business, and now the same person, now he works in millions instead of lakhs, and not in rupees, in, you know, foreign currency. You know, not lira, of course. But you know, does that make sense? So that is dharma. You just know that it's being done and it should be done. The Vaishya will do it because it will give profit. Kshatriya and Brahmins do it because they should. It's the proper thing to do. They can't not do it properly, like that. So it's a more subtle platform. So if that's established, then the relationships will go better. Otherwise, the committee may be efficient, but it's not necessarily that you've improved the human quality of life. You know, more money has gotten, more management has done, but the quality of human life doesn't necessarily mean it's gotten any better.
I'm thinking of a particular place where there's a national council, NISKCON, where actually everybody doesn't have any respect for anybody else because of... Each one has a long history with everybody else.
Of course.
So what's the next step?
What's the next step? Well, the next step we see here is actually leadership. Because the point is why are they like that? Because technically there's no leadership above them. Right? Your national council has made up all your temple presidents and project leaders. The GBC also happened to be there. But the ones that make those projects happen are those people sitting in the room, and they're doing it alone without anybody else. That's why they don't get along. If they had leaders above them, then they would feel part of something. Then they can also be part of something with someone else. But as it is, they're successful being alone, therefore they have a meeting, they don't see any importance to it, really. So that's why they don't need to come on time. Other than making it vocal that you don't step on my toes, and then, you know, I'll try my best, at least in the meeting, I'll say I won't step on yours. But it's a forum for getting each one to not bother the other. But it's not necessarily a progressive dynamic moving forward that you do something together, because they're not working with someone. Right? Just like the child, if he sees the parents cooperate, then he can understand cooperation. But if the parents don't cooperate, he doesn't know what cooperation is. Therefore, he spends his life alone. And when he meets other people, he doesn't get any more close to them than his parents were. Because he doesn't know what it is. And then as he grows, he sees the parents have their authorities and those people that they're surrendered to and important to them. You know, the gurus and their, you know, senior devotees and relations and all that. Then they see it like that. Then it's like, then who's next? You know, then we see, goes back to Krishna. But if it breaks there, it breaks all the way. It's just the way it works. So they're doing it on their own. You know what I'm saying? They're just doing it, they're working on their own. And so because of that, they don't see the need to really work with anyone else. It means they get stuff done because people work with them, not that they work with anyone else. So naturally, then, how will they feel the meeting to really be that important? Other than you work out little things that are, you know, a little hard to work out, payments between them, and, you know, don't come and do Sankirtan in my zone, and, you know, if we come to a program, then who pays? And, you know, they're just business stuff. It's just business. And those things make it easier and more comfortable. But as far as relationships go, it won't. But there has to be leadership. You know. So in other words, above them, the leadership is not cooperating or is not acting as leaders. You know. So therefore, they won't see where will they get it from? You know, milk becomes yogurt because you put some yogurt into it. If there's no yogurt, you know, it won't come. So relationships come from relationships. Relationships come from relationships. You know, life comes from life. So relationships from relationships.
So where is that leadership going to come from?
Where is that leadership going to come from? From leaders?
Would it be Srila Prabhupada or Prasadanta?
No, it means leaders are sitting here, you know, amongst us. It's just a matter of accepting that leadership is okay. You know what I'm saying? In general, in the community, what does the community actually feel about leadership? Right? All their problems in the world are all because of leadership, right? No one wants to take the blame, it's their own problem. So therefore, who wants to be a leader? So even though you have leaders, they won't lead.